This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. So I've been meaning to give some updates on a couple of things. First is the YouTube channel. I know I have been lagging on this. I am super close to the 500 followers that I said once we got there, we would do a free class. And I know I haven't been putting up videos like I had hoped, but it has just gotten too hard after the move with everyone home all day long. There's always someone somewhere in every room of this house, it feels like, or some noise resonating from somewhere. So I'm not going to be doing much of that until after everyone gets back to school in August. Then I will get back on track with those. I will try to put out a few, you know, every so often. But when I reach the 500, which we're super close, I will put up another free class on the channel. I'm not sure which ones yet, but I'm going to start thinking about that because this 500 is really imminent. And the YouTube channel is Your Village, so you can just search for Your Village. I believe we come up as the very first thing in the search. Secondly, I finally have a book coming out. I am so excited about this. I have written a third of the book of the chapters, but all of the material is coming from the classes and the podcasts. The whole outline is complete. The book is focusing on parenting for toddlers, since a lot of the audience is toddlers. Seems to be one of the main areas where parents are really trying to dig in there and get a good foundation built. So I'm covering 7 areas of challenges that parents can have with toddlers, and then also just some basic background information. It's 10 chapters. Some of the information, bedtimes and nighttimes, potty training, the hitting, kicking, aggression, just in general, and then 4 other areas. I give all my best tips from the classes, the podcasts, from questions I've gotten that over the years, especially when I see a lot of repeats, are covered in the book to help parents have a nice go-to resource guide for dealing with these very common issues in toddlerhood. My amazing graphic designer, I know I've mentioned her before, her name is Ashley. She is working on the layout right now. I sent her off the first 3 chapters and the outline for the whole thing so she can start laying out the book. She does the most amazing work. If you get our emails, if you're on our email list, you've seen her work. Obviously, the The classes themselves are all of her design work, so it will be nothing short of spectacular, I'm sure. Lots of great visuals, nicely formatted to find the information you need quickly. She actually edits these podcasts. She's going to listen to this, and so she's going to feel the pressure, but seriously, she's just naturally talented anyway. If the book does well, I'm sure we'll have a follow-up with more books, infants, school-age, teens, tweens, and I'm sure another book or two for about toddlers, toddlerhood, parenting toddlers with the common questions that come in, as I can't even begin to cover it all in one book. I will keep you posted on this podcast as to our progress on the book. I'll take some nice screenshots and share those on the Instagram and the Facebook pages. The Instagram is IronMom2020. I've wanted to do this for a very long time. I just wasn't quite sure what to cover, how to cover, what I wanted to cover. And this just came to me a couple weeks ago, and I finally figured out exactly what and how I wanted to cover what information. And I think that will be the most helpful for everyone. So when that is up, I will let you know, or as we get closer. Okay, so today's topic is short-term versus long-term parenting tips and tools. So I'm sure you probably have some idea what I mean, but I'm going to talk about what I mean, give some examples, the pros to each, and when we may choose one over the other. So you can weigh each decision in your mind of when you're going for the short term versus the long term. And I'm also going to talk about this in a developmental spectrum also, because that's a really important thing to keep in mind. So this came up in my house this week, and that's the reason I'm going to talk about it. And because it's relevant to all age groups, and it's really going to be helpful for you parents of toddlers also, but for parents of all ages, I want to share about my experience and then the thoughts that I had about it. So you already probably have a pretty good idea of what I mean by short-term versus long-term parenting. And it may seem like from what you know that long-term parenting is really always the goal, but I'm going to shed some different light on that. It refers to the goals we have for a particular interaction with our kids for that moment. So, as you may guess, short-term parenting goals are the quick fix. We just want to get the kids to sleep, or to stop the power struggle, or the house to be clean, or any other number of things, and we want it done as quickly as possible. We're done. We're finished. We're kaput. And usually, we just have nothing or almost nothing left to give. So, or we know it's going to be some big uphill battle that we're just not interested in engaging in at the moment. So we make a short-term parenting decision just to get through that moment, that exchange, that bedtime. Short-term parenting means we aren't fixing the issue for the long haul. We're fixing it for the moment in time. It isn't always the worst thing, though. Like I mentioned, if we're just running on fumes, short-term can be the best answer. And I have some other times when it's also the best answer, or maybe a better go-to answer. Sometimes we just need to get it done. We need to pick up the toys. We need to clean up the food off the floor. We know that tomorrow is a new day and will be much better if we spend our time and energy getting the evening completed as smoothly as possible, get the kids in bed without needing to try to keep our cool and perfectly sane through some major exchange when we don't have much sanity left to draw on. The less energy we use and the calmer we can make the evening so we can get to bed as soon as possible, the better. That's when a lot of us draw on the short-term parenting. Long-term parenting, as you would expect, are those exchanges and decisions we make for the long-term goals we have set up for our children, for them to be polite, for them to be respectful, for them to be a contributing member of the family, of society, to clean up their own messes, to learn the necessary life skills they will need when they leave home, to learn how to be responsible. This is a big and long process, and Rome wasn't built in a day type of process. So obviously too much short-term parenting, and it will get in the way of the long-term parenting goals. So it can be a slippery slope sometimes. If we keep doing those bedtimes and we keep staying in the kids' room to just let them fall asleep because it's easier in the moment, and we do that night after night after night, that's a slippery slope we're falling into. We're not teaching our kids how to fall asleep. We're not getting our own time to ourselves in the evening. That's where it can be a slippery slope. I'm going to talk about this more, about maintaining that balance in a minute. But all of this came to mind, and I felt like it was a really good topic to discuss because this is a common occurrence in our house these days, and I had a particular incident this week. Now that our kids are 10, 10, and 12, there's a lot of work we're doing, a lot of focus on learning life skills, being more and more responsible for their own daily tasks and contribution around the house. Now, my oldest son still leaves the table and leaves his plate on the table on occasion. Doesn't happen too often, but some days he will just get up from the table and leave, and I will look down and there's a plate sitting there. I'm like, how is this still happening? They have been responsible for clearing their own plates and rinsing them off and putting them in the dishwasher, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for as long as I can remember. They were probably three. They didn't rinse them off then, but clearing the table. By the time they could reach the sink, they had to rinse them off and put them in the dishwasher. So this has been a long time in our house. Now, it's easier for me in the short term to grab the plate, rinse it off, put it in the dishwasher. But I refuse to do that. Now, I will say he does feel badly when this happens. He apologizes. He comes right away to remedy this. But I always call him back to the table. If I do it, I'm rescuing him. And he has no reason to remember. The message I would be sending is, I don't have to bother because if I leave it here, Mom will just do it for me. I don't want to be sending that message. He is 12. He absolutely needs to step up. So the incident we had this week was with both of my boys' laundry bags. So the process in our house is my kids are responsible for putting their own dirty clothes in their laundry bags. They bring them down to the laundry room. They sort out their laundry. We have dark, cold, dark, warm, or hot, light, cold, and light, warm, or hot. Then they have to take their bags back to their rooms. We wash the laundry. Then when the laundry is done, they fold their laundry and put it away. Well, both my boys left their bags in the laundry room. I put them on the stairs and told them both to take them up the next time they went. Now, these are big bags. They're soft bags. They have little shoulder straps. They can throw them over their backs and take them up and down the stairs. They take about half the width of the steps if they're put on their, lengthwise up the steps. Otherwise, they'd go all the way across the steps. And they take 3 to 4 stairs in height. So these are big bags. It's pretty obvious. They're hard to miss. I think Carter walked over his bag or by his bag 3 times. Finally, I'd had enough. I was walking up the stairs. I called him back down. Now, I happen to be walking up. Like I said, I'm walking up the stairs. He's coming down. Now, he gladly did it. Came out of his room. No attitude at all. Felt bad. But we're on the landing together. And I said, I know I could bring this up for you. And I don't mind doing it. But I wouldn't be doing you any favors. I wouldn't be teaching you how to take care of your own responsibilities if I just brought it up for you. And he chirped, I know. He grabbed his bag and went upstairs, put it in his closet. He didn't mind at all. Doesn't give me any back talk or attitude, which is great. So the same thing happened with his brother, who also walked past his laundry bag on the stairs a ridiculous number of times. I told him the next time he went up, he needed to take the bag. And he did. He happened to be sitting downstairs when I reminded him. Luckily, he remembered. So many things would just be easier to just do it for them. When the dishes are overflowing and one of the kids hasn't emptied the dishwasher, it sure is faster and easier in that moment to empty it quickly and move on to load in the dishwasher. It's easier to pick up that sock or that plate from the table or the laundry bag from the stairs. It takes energy to remind them, see how long it takes, or finally just put your foot down and tell them to come and do their duty if they've forgotten again. You pick up their blocks. Now, this is for younger kids, not mine. Pick up their blocks and put them away. The trains, or empty the dishwasher when all you want to do is be done with the evening tasks and relax or get the kids to bed. And then you can relax. So there is more room for leeway with toddlers and preschoolers on this type of thing. Of course, in certain areas, especially the cleanup. But there are other areas of focus where we want to do our best to stay the course and teach them and hold them accountable for toddlers then for older kids. So when we get back after the break, I'm going to go through some good rules of thumb by age for where we want to work on the long term as much as possible by age, and then where and when we may want to go for the short term option. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep. And four different timer options, so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Now that we're back after the break, let's get into some rules of thumb for what we might want to focus on by age and really try to stay the course on the long-term parenting goals, and then when we might be okay to go for the short term. Okay, so toddlerhood. During toddlerhood, we're really focusing on solid schedules and daily routines. And I mean as far as health and safety. Not that we're so rigid that snack time is 3 p.m. and if you don't leave your toys and come to the kitchen ASAP and sit down and have your snack, too late, too bad. Not talking about that kind of rigidity. We're talking about solid bedtimes, bedtime routines, nighttime sleep, working on and maintaining bedtimes where toddler is falling asleep in their room on their own. Doing our bedtime routine, tucking in, and then letting them fall asleep on their own. Now, if you're co-sleeping family and this works for you, then there's absolutely nothing unhealthy about this lifestyle choice. As long as you're doing it safely, as long as everyone is falling asleep relatively easily at bedtime and getting a solid night's sleep. That's what matters, teaching those solid sleep skills. So if you're co-sleeping and they're jumping around the room and getting excited at night, they're not learning good sleep skills for falling asleep. So that's something to work on. But the fact that you're just sharing a room or sharing a bed is not going to create unhealthy habits. So long as everyone's falling asleep, they're getting a good solid night's sleep without tons of waking up in the middle of the night and waking each other, that's what matters. However, if it's not working for you or is no longer working for you, then it's time to make the change. If you're having to stay with your toddler in the room while they fall asleep or every time they wake up in the middle of the night, then this is something to work on and focus on. This is your long-term parenting focus and goal. Some families start out co-sleeping and it works great for a while, but then when toddler is tossing and turning and kicking and then lays sideways like an H in between the parents and somebody's getting the foot in the ribs, or it gets in the way of physical intimacy between parents, then it's no longer working for everyone. This becomes a process to make a plan and make the change. Also during toddlerhood, we're focusing on emotional skills and social skills. So this is a big, big topic. I've covered it a lot in different episodes, in the classes on the website. I'm going to give a little different view and perspective as far as development and where you can focus. Now, as we all know, toddlers and preschoolers can really struggle with emotions. There's just a lot of development going on in their brain, and a lot of that is their emotional capacity, their and then just their logical brain is just coming on board in order to be able to counteract the high emotion. So there's a lot going on in there. And this is a time when we're really working with them for the logical brain development. We're working with them on that and working through emotions. And that actually helps them create those neurons and connections that help them better able to manage their emotions. So we're working with them on this. We're doing a lot of teaching and coaching. Young toddlers, we're there to support them through the big emotions. Sometimes we're coaching and labeling emotions, and also through preschool. This is not like, okay, you're 3 years old, I'm done helping you. This is a process that we're slowly going to wean off of over time as they gain more skill. We're coaching and labeling emotions. We're holding and cuddling through big emotions. And other times we're giving them space and opportunity to learn to feel those big emotions and work through them to a place of calm on their own. The difference will depend on your child. Some children want to be held and others don't want to be held and want to work through it on their own. How many times you've been through it already today? If this is the fourth meltdown of the day over the dog taking the cracker, when your toddler insists on teasing the dog with it, well, it's okay to be over it and just let him figure it out. That he doesn't have control over everything, and that means the dog too. And what's happening in that moment, et cetera. You're in the middle of making dinner, you know, something's boiling and you've got to get something on the pot. You may need to wait a couple minutes to go help toddler with their tantrum. That's okay. So during quiet times, we're teaching emotion skills. We're reading books. We're playing some fun, simple, short games about emotions. We're doing art about emotions. We're just labeling emotions of our own, of theirs, in others when we see them. As we get a little further into toddlerhood, 2.5, 3, 4, we're teaching and coaching social skills in addition to some emotion skills, still helping them work on those. But they're starting to get a good foundation. So now we're really starting to work the social skills, how to deal with big emotions, how to do self-calming before we react, before we throw something or hit someone or scratch someone, or grab something. We're teaching them how to use their words rather than the throwing or the hitting or the kicking. This takes a lot of mental energy for parents. Working with kids this age on these skills, that takes a lot from us. So my feeling is, if getting your child to help clean up the blocks is just not happening, there's a lot of time left to work on these skills. Once the emotions aren't so all-consuming for them, and once the emotion skills have a better foundation, is this a nice goal? Should we try? Should we set up a precedent or an understanding about cleaning up after ourselves when we're done and helping? Sure, we can do all of that. But at these ages, this just isn't the big focus. Once they're 5 and 6 and beyond, cleaning up after ourselves definitely becomes more of a focus. It becomes much more of an expectation. Taking responsibility for our own daily routines becomes more of a focus. If you can play some fun games, play the cleanup song, and they're going to help you clean up, awesome, do it. If you are pooped, if you're done, if there's been a lot of meltdowns, if they're tired and cranky and you can tell, and you want to put your toddler or your preschooler in front of 20 minutes or half an hour of some TV, whatever, while you're cooking some dinner and you throw the blocks into the thing and pick up the dress up and hang it up, fine. This is not a big focus at this age, in my opinion. I just don't feel like it needs to be a big focus and another area for battle. So for toddlers and preschoolers, we may want to take more of a short-term approach to the cleanup process, like I said, the teeth brushing, the getting dressed, and save our energy for the long-term processes of emotion management and social skills. Now, this doesn't mean we don't work on it, doesn't mean we don't set some foundation, doesn't mean we don't give the opportunity for all of those things. Absolutely, create the opportunity for them to brush their own teeth, to get themselves dressed. But if it's becoming a battle, figure out a way to just make it go smoother. Work on those social emotional skills, because once those are in place, all the rest of this stuff is going to fall into place much, much easier. If it's a good day, moods are good, the day is smooth, we do some work on some cleanup skills, on getting them getting themselves ready, all that's great. Definitely do it. You can always make it part of the routine. But if everyone's in a foul mood, the dog got out this morning by mistake and you had to chase her down the street, you're behind on your entire daily schedule since the day started out. The water heater blew up, who knows? Like, all these things happen all the time. Not all the time, but there's always something, it seems like. The long-term goal of teaching our 3-year-old to clean up before lunch or do their own morning routine is probably just gonna go out the window. We're gonna do some more scaffolding. We're gonna do what we need to do to just make it simple and easy and move through the day. We're focusing on healthy eating. We're focusing on good bedtimes. We're focusing on some nap times if they're still napping. We're focusing on using our words and learning about emotions and our social emotional skills. Once they're 5 or 6, emotion skills are definitely setting in nicely. They're not always perfect, and actually no adult is always perfect. So we certainly don't expect a 5 or 6 year old to be. But they should be able to express their distress with words. Even tears is common, but without hitting, throwing, any type of aggression. If you're still seeing this at 5 and 6, then it's time to revisit teaching some emotion skills and social skills. This is not a detriment on the part of the child, it's just some skills that still need to be worked on and learned. So there's a class, You're Developing Preschooler, and that's covered in there, emotion skills, social skills, along with other skills as well. But kids can fall behind in all kinds of skills, and social emotional skills are no exception. So if you have a young elementary schooler who's still struggling with some meltdowns, big emotions that they seem to be struggling with, I would go back to that class, You're Developing Preschooler. It has lots of tips and ideas for working on those skills and building a solid foundation for those. And that is on the website at yourvillageonline.com. Now, for that matter, if you have a preschooler and you're wanting to work on getting these skills down solid, obviously that class is also a resource for you. And it covers the things like the books and the games and all the ideas, the art, the things that you can do around emotions to really work on that if you're seeing some struggles with that. You can really get intentional and really focus on those skills. Spend some good time digging into those. Okay, so this is why the laundry bag on the stairs, the dishes on the table, the dishwasher, the homework process, project planning are all things I can now use long-term parenting practices for. Now that my kids are older, we've worked through the focuses from the earlier stages of development. We've got solid social-emotional skills. We've got solid respect and boundaries. We've got solid communication between the kids and myself. And that's why when I ask them to do something that they know is expected of them and they know that they forgot, they feel badly about it and come do it right away. We don't have any kind of headbutting or fights or power struggles over it. They know what's expected because we've worked through all of that stuff in the earlier ages. So it's really a process of steps. We're building a foundation and then moving to the next level. So we're building the social emotional skills, the respect, the connection. We're moving to the next level, teaching responsibility, having them become more responsible for their daily routine, for their own life skills. And then our next level is we're going to work on goal planning. What are their goals? What do they see for their lives moving ahead? The relationships. How are they going to do relationships, friendships, and romantic relationships as my children move into these adolescent years? So we just have some nice building blocks, and all those things are important. You know, if you're going to have good goal setting and planning, and you're going to have good solid relationship skills, you have to be a responsible person. You have to take responsibility for yourself, for your processes, for your own. You just have to be able to take responsibility for your own stuff, not just physical stuff, but your own emotional stuff. And this is just a really important piece. So now we're working on this layer because we're going to get to the next one. Now, there's still going to be some reminding about personal responsibilities, I'm sure, and emotional responsibilities about taking responsibility for your own feelings and emotions and reactions to others. We're also working on that right now. And I'm sure this will continue for some time, but hopefully soon we'll be doing a lot less of this reminding type of thing. Have a solid foundation and leave room to focus more on the bigger and bigger things as they get towards adolescence. So I hope this is helpful, getting more long-term view of the journey ahead. It's a marathon, not a sprint, so you can just work on the pieces that are really the place to focus right now that's important to you right now. Give yourself and your toddlers, your elementary school age kids, some slack in areas that can be overwhelming right now with the level that they are at and everything else you're working on. If you want to learn more in depth about any of the topics today, you're developing toddler, you're developing preschooler, raising responsible kids, sleep and bedtimes, the positive discipline classes cover ways to engage in exchanges that are respectful and build connection for better response and cooperation when you do need them to do something and follow through on things. These and all the other 60 plus parenting classes, including the latest one, Mindfulness for Kids, are on the website at yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.